Hey folks, it's Jeff and Joel's Tales from New Orleans. It's a goodlifebabe.com. We're back. I'm looking at the dog right now over here. Tracy has her dogs. And Joel and I are doing some dog sitting over the next week.
It's keeping us occupied.
And Ruby's just tearing into a napkin over here that has some chicken grease on it right now. And I'm coming to understand what it means to be a dog owner.
Beagles.
During this week. Ruby.
Beagles.
Come here.
Jeff, what's happening, dude? Look, man, it's NFL season is around the corner.
That's
right. We're a few days short of Labor Day weekend.
Yep.
And the Thursday following will be the beginning of the NFL season. Obviously, we're big Saints fans. And there's some NFL news to talk about.
Yeah, so... I guess one of the big stories this week is that Colin Kaepernick, I don't know, what did he do? He sat down during the national anthem and during a preseason game. And so, whatever, people saw that he wasn't standing during the national anthem.
And his hand was not over his heart.
And his hand was not over his heart or whatever the case may be. And they asked him about it afterwards. And he said, well, I stand in solidarity with, I guess, Black Lives Matter and other groups,
sure.
You know, that are protesting because, or he said something to the effect of people are getting killed and this is my stance on this. And we're like, here's my thing on it. I don't care at all.
About which part?
I don't care, first of all, what either of these dudes say about really much of anything.
Either which dudes? Him or Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, and this is how it ties in with the Saints in New Orleans, folks, is that Drew Brees had something to say about what Colin Kaepernick said, and there's been these retweets and clarifications and things of that nature, and I don't care what either one of these guys has to say about things outside of football, really, to be honest with you. And then their union chimed in and said, well, you people don't want to hear about what players have to say. And it's like, that's true. The union said something that I actually believe about football.
What did they say?
They said that fans just want to view these players as players and that they pay their money for the entertainment that they provide. Yep.
But which is interesting
That's right.
But you have a guy like, okay, let me make a counterpoint. You have a guy like Steve Gleason, who in retirement has done, of course, it's in retirement.
Sure.
But he's made progress in a medical field, you know, and touched many people. So where do sports and politics, what's the line across? I don't know. I have no problem with what Kaepernick did. I really don't. I think it's like a First Amendment right. You can sit down during the, you can be pissed at your country right now and decide to sit out the national anthem.
I don't think it's any more weird than if somebody practiced opera so that they would be really great at singing the national anthem and was the one guy on the football team who's really weird, the Rudy of the football team, and who sang it and just belted it out every time.
That was his bag.
And then you're just like, God, he's so fucking weird, man.
You make the 53-man roster because you sing the national anthem so well.
Exactly. And everybody's like, wow, like this guy's a fucking great singer.
You're like the fringe, like, special teams player.
Yeah, you're the long snapper.
Who can sing the fuck out of the national anthem.
You're fucking long snapper who can sing.
You're always going to be employed.
Because you can sing.
Because you can sing the national anthem.
Right, exactly. But everybody's like, it's a little weird. He knows all the words, which makes him 0.001%
of all. Because everyone mumbles the national anthem.
Nobody knows the fucking words anyway.
We're just coming off,
okay?
We're just coming off the Olympics, and I've never seen so hundreds of people mumble through the national anthem.
I know, man. I know.
And I'm like, don't even try if you're going to mumble. What was great about, look, we digress, and we will digress for 1 second and get back to Colin Kaepernick, but that Brazil win in soccer in the Olympics, which was the highlight of the Olympics, when Brazil beat Germany, and Neymar scored both in regular time and penalty kicks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was an amazing, thrilling chill bump inducing moment.
That was an unbelievable.
I was in tears watching this match. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I'm not even a big soccer fan, and I hate penalty kicks, but these penalty kicks like played out in such a dramatic way that was just perfect. And I watched them sing their national anthem, and it was like a rock song, and they were crushing it. Every single player, there was no mumbling of the national anthem.
No, everyone is the weirdo that I was describing.
Exactly.
It's like no American could ever stand being on a Brazilian team because they just wouldn't be able to get over their own shyness about expressing themselves.
Well, I think there's something about the United States national anthem that makes it hard to like completely get behind. It's like, because I think if it was like...
Yeah, because it sucks as far as songs go. It's not a great song.
If it was like, we were watching the documentary last night, Quiet Riot. If it was, come feel the noise.
Yeah.
People would get...
I don't know why that isn't our national anthem anyway,
exactly.
Man. With cum spelled C-U-M.
Exactly.
On Feel the Noise. That should be our national anthem.
Our national anthem kind of sucks. Let's just say it.
It
does. Let's just put it out there.
Look, there's been...
Our national anthem sucks.
There have been... I mean, supposedly Woody Guthrie wrote This Land Is Your Land to try and
replace
the national anthem. And This Land Is Your Land is a really simple, kind of obvious tune that isn't all that great, to be honest with you.
It's a little too dumb.
It's just too dumb. Man, we're just striking out when it comes to national anthems.
Strike. You know? We're two strikes.
America the Beautiful might be the best one out of all of them.
America
but look,
Beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, look. Here's my point about the whole thing. There's a couple of different angles that I come at it from. I'm sorry, folks, if there's some kind of audio glitch. We still haven't worked out what that is. But we will eventually.
I'm not hearing it because Jeff has the cans on.
Which cans are headphones, folks. I don't have boobs in my face right now.
Wow.
As earphones. So these are the angles, okay? Kaepernick can say whatever he can do whatever the fuck he wants. It's in the rule book. It's not required that you have to stand. That came out of the whole thing in basketball when Mahmoud, what was the player's name?
Mahmoud Ahmedinejad.
Jackson?
He played at LSU.
Chris Jackson played at LSU. He changed his name. His first name was Mahmoud.
Mahmoud Mahmoud.
I can't remember the last name. Anyway. Abdul Rauf, I want to say, right? I think it was something like that. Anyway, he's... Hey, I watched an interview with him, man. He's a super fucking cool
Sweet guy.
A super cool dude. And many years after the fact, he explained like all this stuff that was going down. And I agree with him. It was super overblown in the 90s, just like this thing is being overblown on social media. I don't care. Here's the thing. If you go and fight in another land and you volunteer for our military, your status as a veteran is so that people can do what Colin Kaepernick is doing. That's it. That's what you fought for. You fight for civilians. People are getting this thing twisted completely.
It's backwards.
It's backwards. It's that we are supposed to be in thrall now to military veterans.
No. We're supposed to be enthralled to our freedom to speak our mind and to protest.
And those people sacrifice themselves, supposedly, so that we can have those things. That's the way the theory goes. But now guys like Breeze have that stuff twisted, where they're like, you're insulting my grandfather and this person, whatnot. You know, I mean, folks, my father fought in Vietnam. I don't feel that anybody is insulting anybody by doing, if they're protesting, I feel that that's,
Drew
you know,
Brees
if you served in the military, ostensibly that is what you were there to do, is to defend the things that are enshrined in our Constitution.
Well, exactly.
I mean, our quote-unquote way of life and all that kind of stuff. Okay, second thing that I want to say
Drew
about
Brees
it.
Is two grandfathers, both served in World War II, so that a guy like Colin Kaepernick could be a black quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, who's a douchebag, like, prior to this
Right, and that's what I'm going to get into right now. Is that
don't give him shit for this. Like, he has every fucking right to be to make a statement like Carmelo Anthony did in the NBA, but Carmelo Anthony actually talked about it, about the Black Lives Matter movement, which is not, look, it's not about the Black Lives Matter movement. It's just about the fact that there is empirical evidence that African Americans are getting killed by police at a high rate. That's all.
Exactly. And there's nothing wrong with anybody saying anything. I don't care what it is that you want to do. If the, you know, formerly openly gay, first openly gay NBA player wanted to not stand for the national anthem or wanted to stand upside down,
sure,
you know, as in a form of protest, they certainly have the right to fucking do that shit.
Totally.
You know, and I don't see that anybody's got a right to impede it. And Breeze has got a right to speak his mind if he has some different opinion about
it. Totally.
That's our democracy. Everybody has a right to disagree. What you don't have a right to is a right to have your feelings spared all the time. You just don't. And I
right.
feel like sometimes that's what people are trying to get at. That's what they're griping about all the time, is that my feelings got hurt because somebody did something in the public sphere that I don't agree with.
Somebody said something.
It just doesn't matter. But here's the thing. I always felt like Colin Kaepernick was a douchebag from the moment he got in the league, separate from this. Okay? I have no problem with what he's doing.
Just as an athlete.
Just as an athlete, and also because as a Saints fan, I'm just required to hate the 49ers.
You're wired.
I'm wired to hate them because we used to be in the same division as them. And in their golden years, they crushed our best years up to that point for the Saints, who were perennial losers. There was only one team in the NFC that was better than we were in about a five-year stretch, and it was consistently the 49ers.
And people don't remember that.
And they don't
Those
remember
good
that.
Good Saints teams.
And look, I defy anybody to tell me that as they get older, that their fandom isn't based on things that happened in the past to their team. It just is. It's that way. You know what I mean? So it's like if the Niners got crushed out for a long time and there was like a perennial rival, you would carry that with you, you know, for a long time. And that's just the way that it is. So when he came in the league, and plus everybody was blowing smoke up his ass. What's his name? Jaws. Jaworski was like...
Ron Jaworski.
He just had like this man crush on the guy. And you and I talked about
it. In the National Football League, you just don't see a young man like this who can spread around his skills in the National Football League the way that it... That's my...
But here's the rub.
That's my Jaws impression, everybody.
Here's the rub. You saw that there was this kind of weirdness going on with Kaepernick kind of early on with the way that he dressed during, you know, because he dressed really weirdly.
He's a millennial.
Right? Did he not dress like...
Well, Russell Westbrook, too.
Yeah, but Westbrook's got style.
True.
Like, Kaepernick was dressing in this whack fucking shit, man.
No, you're right. And some weird fucking shit.
It was just weird.
And so it makes you think, what is he thinking when he wakes up and leaves his house?
He kind of had these weird mannerisms as well, where, you know, the press would try to talk to him, and you could tell that he was just seething with rage inside.
What else?
And then, like, it culminated in this, okay?
Yeah.
And this is what I mean. Like, I just don't think he's that bright of a bulb. I think there was a reason why he was a quarterback at the level. I forget which college he played for, Colorado or Nevada.
Nevada.
So he played for Nevada, and he comes out of that, and it's like, if he's that much of an athletic specimen, and he has all of these talents, that kind of guy would have been recognized as such at the time he went into college or at some point during his college career, and he would have wound up in a top 10 NCAA program by transfer, and that never happened. And I'm not saying that quarterbacks don't rise and the wheat doesn't get separated from the chaff. In the NFL, it does happen from time to time. I'm not saying that it doesn't.
Sure.
Drew Brees is actually a prime example of that, who was passed over by Mac Brown when he was the coach at North Carolina, and
Texas.
He had to go and play. No, when he was the coach at North Carolina.
Texas.
No, he was the coach at North Carolina.
Texas.
He was the coach at North Carolina before he went to Texas.
No, I know that.
And that's when Brees went over to North Carolina. He was being recruited.
No, Brees went to Purdue.
He went to Purdue after he was passed over by Mack Brown when Mack Brown was in his last year probably at North Carolina.
We have to check. We got to fact check this, people.
Okay. Joel's having a little cocktail. I'm having a beer right now. And
I'm having an energy drink.
With let me just get back to this whole thing. So Brees comes out and he says, Colin Kaepernick has insulted my grandfathers, and Kaepernick says, I'm protesting things that are going on in America right now. I just think that football players in general they're probably douchebags, like we've known football players to be. I mean, look, you want to say something black about Drew Brees? He's constantly tweeting about his Jimmy John's investments.
Right.
And the guy from Jimmy John's hunts critically endangered species in Africa for fun.
Yeah.
So he's making money off of that. Okay, so you have that, right? And it's like, so then that guy is lecturing Colin Kaepernick, who's saying this, but Colin Kaepernick is the guy who last year tweeted out, no, he did it on Instagram, I want to say, something, Instagram, Snapchat, I forget. But he's like, when Houston had these historically bad floods, kind of in the same vein as Baton Rouge last year in May, right? And all that time in May, way out from the very first preseason game, the first thing that this douche nozzle says on social media is Seven Storm. That's one of his handles, Seven Storm, which is some kind of bullshit biblical reference, right?
Kaepernick?
Yeah, Kaepernick, right? He's also super religious, right? And he's like, Seven Storms coming to Texas, y'all.
Jesus Christ.
Right after these floods happened.
Jesus Christ.
And then, of course, immediately people jumped on him and said, what's the matter with your brain? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. And this is what he says.
And NFL players,
this is his apology.
Shut the fuck up.
This is his apology. Prayers up. And I'm like, prayers up. That's good. So your apology is, let's fucking pray for people whose houses are underwater. Why don't you unload your pocketbook on some of these freaking issues right here and say you're sorry? Yeah. Instead, he did say that he was sorry, but he's like, prayers up. I'm like, man, I'm so tired of hearing this fucking bullshit. So put your money where your mouth is if you want to help out.
Sure.
So the background of it, when you look at Kaepernick and you look at his career and the things that have come out of his mouth and his behaviors up to this point, it's just like thinking about any of these guys as being, these rosy fucking superstars who are supposed to be role models for children or adults or whatever the case may be, is for me retarded. And that's why I do say, shut up, play football for crying out loud, man.
They're big old lunkheads.
They're just big lunkheads.
One of the reasons that I like the NBA is because you actually have guys who are thoughtful and are socially aware and.
Dude, Arian Foster is really about good. As thoughtful as it gets.
That's
in
true.
The NFL.
That's a great point.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay?
And he's shunned for it.
He's shunned for being that way.
For being a thoughtful guy.
Dude, you don't have to scrape under
Whereas
the fingernail.
In the NBA,
really,
if you're a thoughtful guy.
You don't have to scrape much dirt out of the fingernail
sure.
of Colin Kaepernick to get some really stupid shit.
Right.
Really fucking dumb.
He's a dummy.
You know what I mean?
And
that's my point.
Drew Brees is kind of a dummy.
So I gotta say, if I can ape off of Michael Rappaport was saying on his podcast today, he alluded to the fact that he's like, I just hope that this thing isn't becoming a fad, the thing of protesting. And it's like with Kaepernick, when you look at his background and the story about how he allegedly, from the before the ink was even dry on his first contract, he had this childhood sweetheart that he had promised that was going to be with him all the way, that the ink wasn't even dry, man, and he did the text breakup and just dumped her ass cold right there. And this poor girl is apparently waiting for the big paycheck to come through because her fucking honey boo-boo is making it in the NFL. And he's like, I'm getting better fucking tail now than you. And so just boom, close the door. But of course we got to hear his story about his hardships and how he got adopted and all this kind of stuff. And I'm not minimizing any of that, but I'm just saying, this is such a non-controversy to me.
It's a non-controversy. It's a non-controversy.
It's a non-controversy.
Pick apart.
We coined that term.
If you're gonna,
it's a, did we?
What?
Non-controversy? Did we coin that?
Non-controversy.
It's a non-controversy.
Look, if you're gonna give Colin Kaepernick shit, you've got like fertile fucking grounds to do it, but not over this. Over a shit ton of other things.
Just the fact that he fucking sucks as a quarterback. How about that?
He's a Nimrod.
He can't throw an accurate downfield pass. He can't stick with the plan. He can't read more than two deep. Everybody knows what his strengths and weaknesses are in the NFL. It's exactly as I predicted. I hate to toot my own horn. When he came in the league, I'm like, it's going to take 2 years to figure this guy out for the rest of the NFL. And he's going to be crushed after that. And it's exactly what happened.
Can I make an analogy?
Yeah.
In the movie Pulp Fiction, there's that guy that lives in the basement in leather. What's his name?
The Gimp, yeah.
So this is like the Gimp leading your fucking Black Lives Matter parade. Like, he's a fucking idiot. Like, it doesn't matter what he has to say.
Yeah, I just...
And he's leading your charge?
I know.
I mean, that might be a little strong, but it's like the Gimp being like, yo, let's get strong about sexual abuse and assault.
And I really, honestly, I do...
I would like to hear the Gimp.
I wish that these football guys would clam up and shut up about this. Not that I want people to be quiet about social issues that are relevant to the day.
Right.
It's just that I want people who are smart and understand these issues.
Well, exactly.
And are not football players to be the ones that are saying it.
I got to say, man, I appreciate Carmelo Anthony talking about issues this summer. Chris Paul. I mean, those guys are just, I don't know. I don't know what makes them different than football players, but they just seem a little bit more tuned in. And they seem a little bit more bright and intelligent and socially aware.
And then that leads me into another thing where it's just like you play in a sport where there are so many more issues that those guys need to be talking about. Because frankly, we're talking about two people who Drew Brees has been remarkably durable, okay?
Yeah.
But... you know, find me a football player that doesn't have later in life issues in terms of their physical health.
Right.
Right? I don't think that they exist. And especially somebody who's taken as much of a pounding as that guy has over the years. You know, you're talking about a guy who's played every game, every season, practically, except for the season where he was injured. With his shoulder. And one game that he missed last year as the last one that I can remember in forever.
He doesn't get hit a lot.
He doesn't get hit that much, but he does get hit, and that stuff compounds over time, you know. And it's not only that you get hit in game time, there's live action practice and full pads, and there's all kind of stuff that goes on that breaks your body down. And that brings me to the next thing that we're going to talk about with sports, is that while all of this is going on, a much greater controversy in terms of that sport, which all of these guys should be talking about right now, is the fact that Tony Romo broke his back for the second time in his career this past week by taking a hit that could only be described as basically
pedestrian.
A pedestrian hit. It's not even really something that could be categorized as a hit. And I got to think that there was an article I read in CBS Sports today where the writer posited that that his career is over after this.
Well, I hope that that's 2 years ago.
I hope that that's the case.
Me too. You and I talked about this 2 years ago, where we were like, you know, with all the player safety issues that the NFL purports to try to push forward in terms of concussions and brain injury, they've got a guy who is playing with a back that is broken. And so they clearly don't care about player safety. They care about the optics. What does it look like? What are they, right? I mean, They clearly don't give a shit about fucking player safety. If Tony Romo is being marched out onto the field time and time again with a back injury. I mean, your spine, I mean, what's the most, what are the two major, like, your brain and your spine are the two things in your heart.
You and I were talking about it. That injury occurred when, in 2014, I want to say.
Yeah.
And we were remarking then that it is incredible that the head injury and the head trauma thing has taken over all of the other issues. And what that creates is an effect where you think that there's only one really strong issue to talk about in terms of player safety in the NFL, and it's only limited to head trauma.
Right.
And here you've got a guy who, just on his own diagnosis, basically, just said, I feel fine. And all the way up the food chain, including the owner, who is perpetually making these kinds of excuses, he is the North Dallas 40 owner of this era.
Sure.
Like, he is the Death Race 2000 owner.
Jerry Jones, everybody.
Jerry Jones has no qualms about taking anybody, no matter how severe their injury might be, and risking that injury against victory as many times as it takes in order to secure that victory.
But 2 years ago, you and I were sitting here watching Tony Romo play, seeing his injury, and we are saying, this guy has to stop playing football because this is going to ruin his life.
Well, what we couldn't...
And then this preseason game a week ago, he takes a pedestrian hit. His back is fucked up again.
It's broken.
And Jerry Jones says, I'm shocked.
Like, I'm just shocked.
Why do we know by watching television... The answer is that we don't know more than Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones knows everything. He's just a fucking liar.
Sure. Yeah. He's just willing to put these players' lives and bodies on the line. And they're willing to do it also because the paychecks are really that high.
Sure.
I mean, think about it. I mean, Joel, other than... think about a guy like Romo and his prospects for the future after this. I'm sure that they're good. I mean, he's a millionaire. If he invested his money well, he's going to be fine.
He's a millionaire. He's handsome, and he's well-spoken. So he's fine.
So he's fine.
But he should never take another snap again.
Well, he's fine, except that, like, if in 2 years those back injuries prove to be so degrading that he winds up in a wheelchair.
Exactly.
And if that happens, then he's not going to have any endorsements. He's right. going to be the sad figure of a young man who's in a wheelchair.
Sure.
That everyone's looking at, you know, piteously, and that gets no endorsement deals whatsoever. And the money wagon train just fucking dries up year by year by year.
He could be the poster child of the end of the NFL. You know, I mean, I have a pretty radical view on the NFL, and I think that it's not going to be around 20 years from now.
Well, I think 20 is probably too soon, but I do see that the Roger Goodell era is the laying the foundation for the end in a way that perhaps 20 years from now, as a somewhat diminished sport, people will look back and see this era as the and his poor leadership as the definitive reasons that the NFL took a turn and went in that direction. Because as you and I have pointed out, we talked about recently Joe Biden's, what is it, shoot for the stars money?
Right.
What is it called? It's called moonshot, right?
Right.
So Joe Biden has these moonshot initiatives where people submit proposals, mostly scientists, for the most advanced scientific ideas that they can think of
so
in any field.
It's science for science sake.
It's science for science sake to push the boundaries of science as we know it
right.
to the next level. And that's why it's called moonshot, right? But
sure.
And all of these scientists in a variety of fields have done it. And one wonders why, I hate saying one, I just said one, right? You wonder why the NFL hasn't gone for one of these things and partnered with a medical science foundation to to try and win a moonshot and do something positive in PR in order to develop the world's safest padding and helmet technology.
Well, that's the thing.
That can also be if I could just add, the standard for all sports. It doesn't have to just be,
the NFL could be
helmets for NASCAR and for other sports.
To your point, the NFL is wasting an opportunity given its prosperity financially and influence to come up with safety initiatives that would affect not just their sport, but any number of other industries, not just sports, but just industries, right? But in doing so, they would be making a tacit sort of, they'd basically be admitting that their sport is unsafe and they're not willing to do it. They're not willing to do the science and the research because they don't want to admit that the sport is unsafe. I mean, we're not breaking any new ground here.
I don't really have much to add to that because I just concur 100%. Folks, I'm just going to say this, that disturbance, I believe, is the result of the fact that we're recording onto my phone. I'm now figuring this out. It's some kind of thing that has to do with the 4G LTE of Verizon. And so anyway, it's a young podcast in our rebirth. And you can consider those audio glitches to be the afterbirth of our relaunching efforts. But I don't think anybody really cares that much. It's just a little glitch. You might hear it from time to time. And again, our apologies for that. But I don't know that I have much to add to what you said, Joel, because I agree with it wholeheartedly. It is what it is. It's clear that it's all about the money. It's all about making money in the here and now. And somehow,
it is
if the whole thing goes to hell in a handbasket, say it really starts tanking 10 years from now, football is less popular than baseball for some reason. And everybody realizes like just the incredible impact that the millennial generation had on not taking up that sport.
Fucking right.
Right. And the subsequent generations. Because 10 years from now, those are the kids who are going to be, they're not even going to be millennial. Millennials will be 40 by then, and then this will be that next, whatever they're calling this generation. Generation screwball,
One's going to play football.
And nobody's going to play football. They're all going to be playing soccer. And America's still not going to be any good because they're still going to be doing headers in professional soccer, and all the moms are not going to want headers.
You can't do
anymore.
Headers
anymore. You can't
like
do headers.
18.
And then if you can't do headers until you're fucking 16 or 18, then Americans are going to suck at soccer and we're never going to win a World Cup ever. Which means this, Joel, there's only one fucking sport left, too, for America to really cheer for at a high level. And you're loving it. It's going to be basketball. And baseball, and frankly, to your point, even though we were discussing prior to the podcast tonight about two horrific injuries that occurred in basketball, they're not head injuries, you know? I'm not saying that head injuries don't occur, but the prevalence of them in basketball is so much lower than it is in other sports. Basketball has to be by far and away the safest sport.
Yeah.
In the United States, right? I mean, it's far safer than soccer. It's far safer than baseball.
Hockey.
Oh, it's way safer. I mean, hockey, they encourage you to beat the fuck out of each other.
Exactly. No, I mean, in fact, with basketball, they've just outlawed fighting, I mean, you can go back to Rudy Tomjanovic getting his jaw broken in 1978 when he was a player before he was a coach.
That's right.
And but that guy got eliminated for life. The guy who hit him.
I know. I heard an interview with him, man.
Ernie something or whatever.
Yeah, I heard an interview with him recently.
I kind of feel bad for the guy.
Yeah.
Because back then you could fight in the NBA. That was like allowed to fight. He just happened to connect too hard.
The funny thing about that was, too, is that he was flailing almost blindly as he described it. And he knew that he was hitting. He wasn't trying to land anything like as squarely as he landed it. He was in the act of protecting his player.
Yeah.
And it was a big old fight, and it really was an instance of another kind of league hypocrisy, which is that the severity of the injury as a result of the fighting is what dictates the punishment.
Right.
Which is really stupid.
Which is stupid.
You know, because
Shaq one time threw a punch at Charles Barkley, I want to say, and he whiffed. But if he would have hit, it could have killed Charles Barkley.
With that gigantic head?
I mean, fucking Shaq with the full-on...
God, he is a fucking freak of nature.
Dude, it was the fucking windmaker. Yeah. He just came around, dude.
The haymaker?
Haymaker, thank you.
Yeah.
The windowsaw. The salamake. Just making shit up in the face. He came around, though. And he whiffed. If he would have connected with Charles Barkley, man, Charles Barkley may have not been no more.
Yeah.
You know? And then, to your point, the punishment would have been more severe because of the result as opposed to the process.
Sure. Sure. Or if you're like a small guy, you know, if like Steph Curry like hits with all of his might, you know, against, you know, DeAndre Jordan, you know, and it doesn't even bruise the guy.
Yeah, he could just like punch him in the stomach and nothing. Like,
and then they just go, oh, well, you fought, and he gets a one-game suspension, and that's
exactly.
It, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that guy got his life ruined because he happened to break Tom Jonovich's jaw.
He sure did.
Because it landed perfectly, because if you watch the replay, it's like the worst kind of boxing knockout that happens. The worst kind is when the guy is coming around and he doesn't realize that he's shifting his body into the punch. And
yeah.
That's what Tom Jonovich is doing. He swings his head around in the direction of the punch, and it makes the force of the punch that much
greater.
Poor
guy. What's his name? Ernie something?
God, yeah, I forget, man. We don't have producers here, folks. If other people talk about it, they don't fact check. We don't have producers.
Our producer showed up on Molly one day, and like we fired him.
Yeah, we don't know what was going on with him.
so we
don't have producers on the It's a Good Life Babe.com, Jeff and Jill's Tales from New Orleans.
But look, like, the bigger point for me is that the NBA is a more sophisticated intellectual sports league than the NFL.
And it kind of always has been, you know? I mean, they have a history in the NFL of shunning people of intelligence. Like, still... to this day, even as a broadcaster, it's kind of only sort of barely okay for Dan Fouts to talk about being an atheist.
right.
And it wasn't okay at all for Dan Fouts to espouse those things. But, you know, here's the funny thing. If we hadn't have regressed when Reagan came into office,
right,
and culturally, societally, norms, everything in the United States,
yeah,
we regressed.
Yeah.
Like, we went back into the caveman fucking knuckle-dragger era after Reagan became president. And if we wouldn't have done that, you know, maybe Dan Fouts, you know, by the time 1984 rolls around, is like, hey, you know, I'm just an open atheist.
He could have been a swinging atheist.
It just could have been a swinging atheist, right? And that would have been fine, you know, but we didn't. We regressed, we went backward. And now I see, and you see this, like with the social upheaval that's happening now, that... it's happening again, you know? So now you have these protests that are happening in sports. Look, I love all that shit. I'm glad that we're living suddenly in an era where there's all this conflict and you have to go through this, you have to pass through that membrane in order for anything to get better. Man, it's just not going to get better by good feelings and
sitting
down and pretending everything's okay.
Discourse is important. And that's all it is, man. It's just discourse. Carmelo Anthony coming out and talking about Black Lives Matter or whatever is good discourse. It's like just and Colin Kaepernick doing what he did is good discourse as well. And I disagree with Drew Brees. I mean, this idea that we have to inherently abide by the flag and by the national anthem is bullshit to me. I mean, if you're gonna
Joel, can I couch it in this way?
Please. Finish my thought for me, because I was flailing.
It just doesn't... The entire episode of adult human beings standing in this kind of Nuremberg-like ritual where we're all together and everyone is testing one another's patriotism against each other
by how they act
during this thing, as though someone who responds in a way that's different than you is less than the serious patriot that you consider yourself to be, regardless of whatever your fucking personal record is inherently in and of itself divisive.
Exactly. And your personal record is what matters.
And it and I got
to
tell you,
how I behave every day to everyone I encounter is more important than how I fucking behave during the goddamn national anthem.
Well, and I got to be honest with you that for me, it just feels fucking immature and stupid.
It's stupid.
And it's like something for children to do.
It is. It's like the Pledge of fucking Allegiance.
And we stand there before saying, and that's why most of the time, unless it catches me off guard, most of the time it catches me off guard. And I stand up and I do the thing like everybody else does. But if I'm thinking about it beforehand and I know that it's coming up, that's when I go to get fucking pulled pork nachos.
Exactly.
Because nobody's in line.
Because no one's in line.
Exactly.
Everyone feels like they have to take their fucking hat off, put their hand over their fucking heart. And most people don't even know where their heart is, by the way.
That's how dumb people are. Look, the other part of it, Joel.
They don't even know where their heart is.
The other part of it is...
Anonymatically.
Anonymatically. You're going to have me pronouncing words like you soon enough. Anatomically speaking, they don't know where their heart is. And the other part of it is that half the time, as you see, athletes, even these self-righteous jackasses who are like taking people down for these ridiculous reasons... They don't know the words themselves, and you're supposed to put your hand over your heart, you're supposed to sing it, and you're supposed to know the words. You're supposed to sing it when the national anthem comes on. So the next time I see anyone in the audience who has like a flag hat on or a camouflage shirt or with those designs on it, you know, and clearly has done steroids and probably is drunk and is going to drive their pickup truck that they don't want to get
their ATV.
Their fucking $38,000 fucking Ford pickup truck that they don't want to get a scratch on because it's now a luxury vehicle and not a work vehicle.
Right.
If that person isn't singing with their hand over their heart or their hat over their heart or with their hat off of their head.
Right.
Right. And if they don't know the words, I am accusing that person of starting ISIS.
Boom.
That's it.
Because that's it.
Clearly, that person is a fucking terrorist.
Drew Brees, you're a fucking accurate quarterback, but goddamn it, man. You're wrong on this issue.
Yeah, and I think that he redacted it a little bit, but again, we don't have a producer, you know?
Yeah.
And I just saw something where he clarified. That's what people do these days. They clarify their previous statement. When they fuck up something, they always have a clarification afterward. And
it's also called amplification, they say. That's a new word.
A lot.
They're like, I amplified my answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, okay.
And again, for me, at the end of the day, this kind of stuff just mars my sports experience, you know, because I just don't need to know all this stuff about sports figures. It's fine if they want to do it. It's just that in the social media climate, the fact that it's become such a nothing is becoming such a big thing, you know. Colin Kaepernick should do this, but because he's a moron, I'm sure that he doesn't fucking know who these people are. Just name the top three leaders in the United States who are pushing the civil rights agenda for African Americans and minorities. List those organizations
and ask people to donate.
Right. And I can tell you who one of them is because he was a former mayor of New Orleans, and people might not like hearing this, but I don't care. And his name is Marc Morial.
Right.
And I would encourage you, Colin Kaepernick, if you're listening to this, which you're not, and no one else is for that matter, call Marc Morial and ask him if you can donate some money to that cause. And that way, you know, you can be a positive force for change. And again, that is not me disparaging anything that the guy did at all. It's just that I have thought of him as a kind of a moron since he came into the league, and he's a Niner, so I have to hate him.
Go into your community and Colin Kaepernick and donate some money towards, now that private citizens should have to do this, but donate some money for video cameras on police vests. Or, I mean, there's got to be ways to help the policing of America, right?
And look, because we don't have a producer, I don't know if he's not doing those things.
He may
now.
Be doing those.
Maybe
things.
He is doing those.
You know,
things
good now, on him.
You know, good on him. But then it would be like, why didn't he mention that? And you know why? Because he's not that smart.
He's not a smart guy.
You know, so
he's kind of an idiot.
There you go.
You know what? Yeah, whatever. Good on Carmelo Anthony, man. He came out and he said some things, and they were smart and they got good attention and before the Olympics.
I mean, yeah, and I appreciate what, you know, he had a very genuine moment at the end when the United States men's team crushed Serbia,
right?
And you know, and he echoed some of those sentiments and said some really great things. But of course, you know, you say the right thing. The right thing comes out of that guy's mouth, and
it doesn't get
any
attention.
Fucking play at all.
Well, all the podcast people are talking about, this is what's interesting. Like, I'm finding in the new media that podcasters are covering the nuanced, detailed shit, whereas TV and print are not.
Yeah, I believe that. I've heard as much even today when I was listening to Rappaport's podcast that.
Yeah,
his guest was saying that's what he liked about it.
Is that right?
Yeah, that he's like I listen to it and you just sit around and you shoot the shit, but the stuff that you talk about is different than anything that I hear in other media sources. And so we, in our own way, are trying to do that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But another thing, I'm just going way off script here, Joel.
Sure.
Is that. The first second line of the season started, and you went to that the other day.
Yeah.
And then another thing is that, dude, we've only got a few more fucking days, man. For the pool. The pool's going to close across the street here, folks, in a few days.
Why don't we take a quick break and come back for our segment two? We can talk a little bit about some of those things, maybe the second line, maybe the pool.
Yeah.
Maybe some Deville ads.
Hey, dude, how did those pickles turn out, man?
Pickles are killer, bro.
God, folks, I got this fucking garden growing in my backyard, and I got these cucumbers coming out, and I decided to make pickles. And on the first try, God damn it, they turned out good.
Crisp?
Man. Yeah.
Perfect amount of vinegar?
Yep.
Peppery? Garlicky?
Yep.
It's kablam.
I know.
I mean, just perfect
no
pickles,
dill.
Folks.
No dill.
No dill.
No,
we got
dill.
No dill here. It's like no fact checking.
Peppercorns, no garlic, red pepper flakes, vinegar, water. Bam.
Shit rocked, man.
That's it.
Seriously.
Cucumbers.
I was hungry the other
right
day.
Out of the garden.
I was hungry. I was super hungry the other day and about to go shopping. And the fact that I ate two of your pickles kept me from doing the dumb shopping.
Right.
You know, because it sated me enough.
I think that vinegar is an appetite suppressor.
It must be.
You know?
Because I got there and I was like, I don't know what I want to eat.
We don't have a producer, so it's hard for us to find out these facts. But I'm just going to put it on the table right now.
It is.
And say that vinegar is it.
Folks,
yeah,
pickle your shit.
Yeah,
pickle your shit.
Vinegar is the key. You want to lose weight, you know, get rid of your dad bod, guys.
Yeah.
Do some vinegar. And so this is coming from somebody who has a dad bod.
Exactly. So what do you think? You want to come back in the next segment and talk about maybe the second line for a minute, maybe the pool for a minute, end of summer?
Yeah, and maybe we could talk about the two dogs.
The two dogs, the Duvolympiads.
Oh, yeah, the Duvolympiad.
Duvolympiads. We'll have to talk about that.
Duvolympiad 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, I came up with a concept, folks, just to keep you on the hook. The Duvolympiad is going to be... you know, an Olympic-style event that takes place in odd years. And so we'll leave it at that. There's a host of events that you will find, I think, very interesting, and it will become a worldwide standard for sporting events.
That's going to be a phenomenon, folks.
Yeah, with billions of viewers around the globe.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's going to do it, so you better tune in.
Okay, we'll see you then. All right, dude, I hope this...